Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in 1 Corinthians to chapter 3. We've come to chapter 3 today. We're going to read the first four verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Amen. This is God's holy word. Amen. Throughout the Bible, from cover to cover, we discover that there are only two classes of human beings. There are the saved and the lost. There are the regenerate and the unregenerate. There are the believers and the unbelievers. That should be clear and obvious to us. And yet, at the end of the last century, the 20th century, and the beginning of this century, there have been those who have tried to add a third category. They divide mankind into unbelievers, the unregenerate, and then they try to classify Christians into two categories, the spiritual Christian and the carnal Christian. And often they turn to this very passage that we have read this morning as proof, the proof text for them, to teach that there is such a thing as a carnal Christian. But is that really what the Apostle Paul is getting at here? Is Paul talking about, and when they mention carnal Christians, what they're referring to is somebody who is just barely saved. He's just barely hooked his fingernails onto the tailgate of the wagon of salvation, and he's being dragged along the road behind that, and what he needs now is to pray another little prayer and be filled with the Holy Spirit and then become a spiritual Christian. Or what he needs is he's only accepted Jesus as his Savior, and now he has to pray another prayer and accept Jesus as his Lord. Does the Bible teach anything like that? The short answer is no. And we'll see what Paul is actually getting at when he talks about these Christians being carnal. It's not an introduction to the Christian life that he's talking about here. He's talking about sin. He's talking about people who ought to be growing in maturity, but because of sin in their lives, are not doing so, and therefore are carnal. Brothers, they have a problem in Corinth. He does call them brothers, however. He begins by addressing them as brothers, and so he recognizes that they are Christians, but there's something terribly wrong in the church in Corinth. These folks had been converted primarily out of raw paganism. Yes, there were some Jewish converts in Corinth, just as there were in many other places throughout that part of the world, but the majority of this church seems to have come out of a heathenism that was just raw and rebellious against God. Anything seemed to go in that society of that day. And the church then has been made up, as Paul addresses them, of people who are Christians, but people who are practically indistinguishable from unbelievers in the world all around them. Now, he doesn't call them unbelievers. He addresses them as brothers. He calls them infants in Christ, implying, yes, they have been born again. Yes, they are indeed Christians. But he says, I can't really call you spiritual because you are instead people of the flesh. We'll see what that means in just a second. So these Christians in Corinth lack the maturity that they already should have attained in Christ. But still, he's not categorizing them as some type of second-class citizen. He's not saying, now you need to pray another little prayer. Now you need this second blessing. Now you need to go on and accept Jesus as Lord. He's not doing anything like that. That falsehood is not taught in this passage of the Word of God. What he is getting at is, they're Christians. So that means that they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Christ is their Lord, because for every single believer, from the moment that you are converted, from the moment you are regenerated and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are indwelt by the Spirit. Can you grieve Him? Yes, you can. And from the moment that you have put your faith in Christ, He is not just your Savior. He is your Lord. Can you disobey Him? Yes, you can. And that's what's happening to these folks here. They are disobeying and grieving God by their immaturity. They don't need a second blessing. What they need is repentance, because what they're engaged in is sin. And as we go through this letter to the Corinthians, we'll see sin after sin after sin that Paul mentions that they need to repent of, that is keeping them in this immature state. And so he calls them not a spiritual people. He calls them people of the flesh. He calls them mere infants in Christ. Not a spiritual people, he's saying. He's not saying you haven't been saved. He is indeed addressing them, as he's already addressed back in chapter 1. At the beginning of chapter 1, he called the Corinthians a spiritual people who were being sanctified in Christ. And at the end of chapter 1, he has mentioned to them that Jesus Christ has become for them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But he is saying here that these folks are at a low spiritual state, and they are struggling with a great problem in their behavior. They are acting like unbelievers. They're acting like worldly people. They are not acting as Christians should. Now, a person can't be a Christian and be totally devoid of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not that they lack the Spirit, but what is going on in their lives is they are living and they are thinking like those who do not have the Spirit. They are involved in a lot of ungodly, unchristian behavior. Therefore, he calls them people of the flesh. Now, in this passage, in verse 1, he uses one word that is sometimes translated carnal. And in verse 3, he uses another word, but it's not the same word. They're related. They actually differ by one letter in the Greek language. But there is an important distinction that needs to be made. Here in verse 1, he's talking to them, and he is basically saying, you are fleshy. In other words, it's not the same word as later on in verse 4 where he says you're merely human, but it's like that. You're just human beings. You are fleshy. In verse 3, he's going to call them fleshly. And what he says there is their characteristics are those of the flesh. Here he is saying, you are just like ordinary, unbelieving people in the way in which you're living. He's claiming they're acting like natural men here. He's claiming they're not acting like the spiritual people that they are and should be. And then he calls them infants in Christ. Now, sometimes in Scripture, the word infant is used in a good sense. Peter uses it that way in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up unto salvation. And there it's a good term. Here it's not. Here it's being used in a bad sense. It's being used in the sense that he's going to explain later on in 1 Corinthians 14, where he will say, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. And so he's getting at the idea already that part of the problem that exists in the church in Corinth is that these folks are thinking and acting like spoiled brats, like immature little children. And that can lead to all kinds of instability in the Christian life. Paul told the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 4, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You can encounter this type of Christian that has this type of struggle on Facebook today. Just take a look at some of the remarks made by people who are ostensibly Christian, and you'll see that there is a rampant immorality and a rampant immaturity among many who claim to be Christians, just as in Corinth. And he says they're acting and thinking like little children. They should have already by this time been mature. They should have already been growing up in Christ, but they're acting like spoiled brats. They lack the maturity that ought to characterize them as those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, we run into that today. We run into those who ought to be mature, but who don't act like that. They act like everyone around them. They are spoiled and they want their way. And it is their behavior that is just exactly like that of the unconverted world around them. You'll run into folks like that who come to churches sometimes and they want the church to conform to them. Now, we saw today in our looking at the second commandment that what God desires is for us to receive what He has given to us and to keep it pure and entire, to worship as He ordained. But there are people who want the church to conform to the way they want it to be. They want flash. They want everything to be just exactly like the world around them. They come from being entertained all the time at concerts and watching shows on Netflix. And they want the church to be exactly like that. And brothers and sisters, we are called by God to be different. The church is different from the world. If we're not, we're not doing it right. When you come through those doors on Sunday morning, this is a place of refuge where you meet Almighty God through His Word. It ought to be different from a sports arena. It ought to be different from a concert hall. It ought to be different from a movie theater. This is a place where you encounter God on God's terms. And so we are to be like that, not spoiled brats who want to drag the church into the world. He says you're not ready for spiritual food, solid food. For I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. When Paul contrasts the milk and the solid food here, he doesn't go on to give us a long explanation. Now, the writer to the Hebrews does use that same term, and he does give us a bigger explanation of it. And he tells us, Hebrews tells us, that milk is for those who just have learned the basics, that milk is the basic teaching of Christianity, but solid food is for the mature who have trained their powers of discernment to be able to distinguish good from evil as they have been involved through constant practice of the study of the Word of God. Or he puts it this way, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid foods are for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So this distinction that Paul's making and that Hebrews makes is not that there is some secret teaching that somehow or other the apostle could determine that certain special, super spiritual Christians get initiated into. But it's not for everybody else. That might be a cult that would do that. That might be some other organization that would do that. But that's not the church. That's not what the church is all about. The difference then is not that the milk and the solid food are different things, but rather they are different ways of delivering the truths to those who need them. There are some who are immature and they simply need to be bottle fed the truths over and over again. And that's what he's complaining about the Corinthians being like. They should have been at the point where they ought to be able to take up a knife and fork and cut into a big juicy sirloin steak of doctrine. But instead, they're being bottle fed the basic truths over and over and over again because they do not seem to want the other. And so he's rebuking them. He's rebuking them for not being ready at this point in their lives to grow and to take in that solid food. And there are folks like that even today. Maybe there was a lack of desire on their part back then, just as there seems to be today, to study the truths of the Word of God in a greater detail and in greater depth. You see, there are lots of folks in the church today who think that doctrine is a four-letter word, that they think that doctrine is dirty, that doctrine divides, and therefore they don't want anything to do with doctrine. The Bible is all about doctrine. The Bible teaches truth from the Word of God to us, and we need to be able to chew on that good, solid doctrine. And so those that just merely want to focus on superficial ideas from the Bible don't have their thinking influenced by the Word of God. That's what Paul's complaining about. These folks are just sipping at the surface of Christian doctrine, and it has not penetrated their being to the point that they understand how the fact that I am now a regenerate man affects how I live Monday through Saturday. And they just seem to want to only touch the surface of things. But God called them, and he calls us today, to grow in our sanctification. And that means chewing on the hard truths of the Word of God so that we can learn them and we can grow by them and we can live by them. And so we're not to be fed only on milk or even on soft jello just because it's too hard to chew on the deep things of God. We are to not live like the world, and that's what these folks were doing. Even now you're not ready, he says, for you are still of the flesh. When Paul first came to Corinth, he met Gentiles who had never heard a word of the revelation of God. They didn't know anything about the truth of the Bible. And he proclaimed the truth to them, and they received it with joy, and they were saved. But they are living in the midst of a culture that is incredibly hedonistic. It's a very permissive culture. You look at what goes on in 1 Corinthians and you see sexual immorality is rampant in the culture and it is rampant in the church in Corinth. And the same type of thing is true of our culture today. They're surrounded by folks that act in a particular way, and these Christians have failed to grasp the application of the Word of God and the gospel to their own daily lives as Christians. They never seem to grow beyond this initial understanding, and they seem to have no desire to do so. And so they're content with milk. They're not even yet ready for solid food. And the reason, Paul says, is they are still of the flesh. This is that other word that he uses. It's not the same as the one in verse 1. It's a word that means fleshly. It means their behavior is that of the world, but this is behavior that can be changed indeed by the grace of God. He's saying, if I were to line 5 of you folks from the church in Corinth up against a wall, and 5 of your unsaved neighbors up against the wall, and began to get witnesses to talk about how you live, there would be no difference between you who claim to be Christians and those who do not claim to be Christians. Their behavior was ungodly. Their actions were like the worldly men around them. They're living as though their profession of faith made no difference to them in their day-to-day activity. And we've got folks like that today too. They're ruled by their passions rather than ruled by the Holy Spirit. They're ruled by their desires. They're ruled by me. What I want, when I want it, how I want it, and I don't care about anybody else. It's not anything new. Back in Corinth, it's the same today. And then Paul offers proof of this carnality in the way in which they're living. He says, "For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in only a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" Paul gives proof of these accusations of lack of spirituality. He says there's jealousy and strife among them, and there are camps within the church that are fighting among one another. That sin of jealousy ruled them. It was a sin of discontentment. It was a sin of envy. It was a sin of discord. They were looking at others in the church and seeing God's evident blessing upon another person or another group, and they were saying, "I don't want them to have that. I want to have that instead." You see, jealousy is not just you're unhappy that somebody else has been blessed. You want to take that blessing away from them and put it on yourself. And that's what they were attempting to do. They wanted to be in charge. They didn't like it that somebody else is in charge. They wanted to be preeminent. They didn't like it that somebody else was more successful, more powerful, more influential than they were. They should have rejoiced to see other believers in Christ blessed by God, but instead they were envious and they resented it and they wanted that blessing taken away from that person and put on themselves. And that produced, as you can figure, fighting, strife. Jealousy produces conflict within the church. And so you've got this odd situation. Here are believers in Corinth who ought to be at war with sin and the devil, who are instead at war with one another. They're fighting each other within the church. And so Paul is saying, when you do that, you are acting like ungodly, unregenerate men. You're acting just like those who are apart from the grace of God when God has given you grace, and this is not how you ought to be living, he's saying. And it resulted in this party spirit that Paul's already mentioned back in chapter 1. Some saying, "I follow Paul." Some saying, "I follow Apollos." And he's saying, when you do that, you're acting in this ungodly way. You act just like the unregenerate do. Now, once again, we can find the same kinds of sin in the church today. There are those who follow the teachings of some megachurch pastor. There are others who follow famous YouTube celebrities. And rather than doing the hard work of digging into the Word of God themselves and studying the Word of God themselves, they seem to be content to get their theology from quips and quotes on Facebook and Twitter. If your theology can be summarized on a bumper sticker or sent out in a single tweet, you are like these Corinthian Christians who were merely infants in Christ. The danger is, if that's how shallow you are, the danger is you will be more influenced by the ways of the world than by the Word of God. And you will be indistinguishable from those who are in the world and apart from Christ. Your behavior should not resemble that of your unsaved neighbor. It should resemble that of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be being conformed more and more into His image day after day. And so you are part of the church that is radically different from the world. You are not part of a group that wants to be just like the world. The church is to be made up of folks who are Christians, who are being transformed into the image of Christ by God's grace each day. It should be made up of folks who are not just like everybody else around them. And when we are like everybody else around them, we fall under the same condemnation that Paul levels at the Corinthians here. If there's no difference in the way that you live from your unsaved friends, then you are immature. You are merely a babe in Christ, and you need to grow in maturity. Are you content with milk and not with solid food? Then if you are, you need to see that there is a danger there. You need to repent of that laziness. And you need to cry out to God to cause you to grow and to cause you to desire to mature more and more as you dig deeply into the Word of God day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this exhortation that the Apostle Paul has given to the Corinthians. We see, Lord, that it is timely, that even in our day, that it addresses those who are just like that, that don't seem to want to grow, but rather, Lord, are content with immaturity. Father, may we not be babes who are tossed to and fro by false doctrines. May we not be those who are exactly like the world around us, merely human. But may we stand out as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. May we live as those who are members of the kingdom of God, who are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and are called to be different because of who our Savior is. May we live for Christ and not live like the world. We pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.